Welcome to Crossroad International Church, where it's all about Jesus. If you are in Kuwait and looking for a church to call home, we would love the opportunity to welcome you at one of our Friday services. Now, here's this week's message.
Today we're going to begin our series in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is Better, the Supremacy of Christ. We have the books out on the table here, the crosstalk table, if you want to pick up one, they're there. We will not be preaching through the book, so don't bring it with you thinking that you can follow straight through the book. We will be bringing other material in. But I recommend you take the book, and like today we're going to do lesson one. So this week, during your devotional time, use it as your part of your personal devotion and go through lesson one of the book. So I want to start out and just give you a brief introduction to the series. The book of Hebrews is anonymous in that we are not told who the author is. There's a lot of speculation of who the author was, but we're not told, so we're not going to tell you who the author was, okay? If God had wanted us to know, I guess he could have told us like all of the other books in the Bible. But it is a book that I believe the original readers knew who it was, but to us, the author remains unknown. It's a majestic picture of Christ commended, and the early church said that this was one of the books that make up the Bible. It's one of the best pictures of who Christ is. The writer of the Hebrews presented Christ as superior to the Old Testament prophets, superior to angels, superior to Moses, superior to Joshua, and superior to Aaron. Jesus is better. The author of this book laced magnificent discussions of Christ's person, Christ's work, into frightening passages warning against apostasy. The superiority of Christ led the writer to appeal for faith in chapter 11, stamina in chapter 12, and good works in chapter 13. I hope that you will enjoy the study that we do through this book. And the Epistle of Hebrews introduces two major themes. Now, this is from your book, okay? First, the divinity of Christ. Hebrews shows us that Christ is divine. He is supreme over all traditions. He's supreme over the law, all that was created, including the angels. He is the ultimate Word of God. It seems like the Hebrew church had some difficulty understanding the difference between the supremacy of Jesus and that of angels, and the first couple of chapters talks about that. Jesus is the heir of all things. He is incarnate. He made the universe. He is the radiance of God's glory, and he sustains all things. And above all else, he is able to give us redemption and to purify us from our sins. Jesus is supreme. In the Old Testament, every year they brought the blood of the sacrifice and they sprinkled it upon the altar, and it covered the sin of Israel for a year. But every year that sacrifice had to be renewed so that their sin could be covered. In the Old Testament system, sin was never removed. It was only covered by the sacrifice or the blood of the sacrifice. But then Jesus comes and gives us a better covenant. He is a better high priest. He is a better sacrifice in that the blood of Christ, once applied to the altar, removed our sin forever. Aren't you glad you don't have to go to the market on the way to church and buy a goat or a sheep or a turtle dove and then come outside in the parking lot and make a sacrifice to cover your sin so you can come in to worship? Maybe the market people would like it because they would make some money, but we don't have to worry about that anymore because Jesus is a better sacrifice. So first thing Hebrews shows us is the divinity of Christ. And the second major theme we will find in Hebrews is God is the one who speaks. He is a God of promise and of fact. He has an inheritance and he has an inheritor and he has a role for you and I. The audience was a church that was confused about the role of Christ and angels. Which one was superior? It seems like that they were trying to compromise and appease the pagans and the Jews in the early church. And then Paul or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, you can tell what school I went to. The author of the book of Hebrews is bringing in that Jesus is better. Lesson 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Let's read. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The title of this section is Jesus is Supreme. In verse 1 of chapter 1, it talks about God has always desired to be known at various times. In one of the commentaries I read by Edward Fudge, he says this: God began revealing Himself to us in the Garden of Eden as He showed us His love for beauty and order in His creation. He revealed the power of His wrath in the flood and His ability to save with the ark. He revealed His ability to deliver us from captivity and bring us to the promised land in the story of the Israelites' escape from Egypt. And He revealed His love for holiness and righteousness in the law. He revealed His plan for the ages through the prophets, and He gave us some hints about how He is going to take care of our sin problem in the building of the tabernacle, the festival, the feast, and the sacrifices. From the beginning, God wanted to be known to all of creation. I love that God, who in various times, in various ways, spoke in the times past. And I want to let you know that today God is not silent. God started speaking to Adam in the Garden of Eden, and God is still speaking to His people today. The question is, do we have an ear to hear Him? It says that at various times, so I just shared just a brief glimpse from history, from the Garden of Eden up till the time of Christ, God was speaking. Let's look at some of the ways, because it says in various ways he spoke. The word various ways literally means in many different portions. So God spoke in many different ways, in many different portions of history. God spoke through a rainbow to Noah. He spoke through an angel to Hagar. He spoke through dreams to Joseph, a burning bush to Moses, the Urim and the Thummim to the high priest. He spoke by a small voice to Elijah, and he spoke through a vision in the temple to Isaiah. God would have us know how much he loves us and longs for us, and how he wants to communicate to us and save us and draw us close to him so that we live our life for him. God desires to be known by us. At various times and in various ways, God speaks to us. I have talked to people that have heard the audible voice of God. I've never heard the audible voice of God. God speaks to me normally through his word or in my spirit. We had a guy in Bible school that used to get up really early every morning, and he would pray down on his knees, "Oh God, speak to me, speak to me." And he would pray right next to the air conditioning vent. And the guys upstairs, their bed was right next to the air conditioning vent above his, and he would wake them up every morning praying, "God, speak to me, speak to me." So one morning they decided God's going to speak to him. So they got next to their air conditioner vent and said, "My son, go back to sleep." Now, that's not what we're talking about, okay? But God does want to communicate to us. As you read his word, as you spend time in prayer, God will speak to us. Verses 2 through 4, Jesus is the only one who can reveal the Father to us. Jesus reveals the Father to us. Basically, what Jesus is saying is, "I want to show you who I am." These last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Jesus is speaking to us today. When I look at Jesus and get to know him through the scripture, when I see the way that he loves people, the way that he cares, the way that he listens, the way that he heals, does miracles for us, it's when I get to know him better. And the more I get to know him, the easier it is to hear when he speaks to me. Because God is infinite in every way, we will never stop learning about God. You can have so many degrees behind your name, it takes two business cards to put it all down, and you will still never know everything there is to know about God. As soon as you think you have it all figured out, you'll read something in Scripture and God will reveal something new about himself. Because God is infinite and God is eternal. And we will never completely figure him out. Until one day, when we're walking the streets of gold, the Bible says then we will know as we are known. But this side of heaven, never stop learning about God. Don't get smug and don't get self-righteous thinking, "Oh, I know everything there is to know about God and faith." Continue to learn. See, Jesus is uniquely qualified to reveal the Father to us because He is the eternal Son of God. As part of the Trinity, Jesus has always existed, and He is the heir of all things. One of the exciting things, scriptures, is we are joint heirs with Christ. What is the meaning of a joint heir? We inherit equally. Everything that God has given to Jesus, Jesus has given to us. Jesus not only is the heir of all things, but He is the creator of all things. Romans 11:36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Jesus knows the Father like no other. He is God. He is part of the Holy Trinity. And there is no one else who can show Jesus to us, or show the Father to us like Jesus. It also says in those scriptures that He is the radiance, the glory of God. In other words, Jesus radiates out the glory of God. Verse 3, let me read it to you in the Amplified Bible. The Son is the radiance, the only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting God's Shekinah glory, the light being, the brilliant light of the divine, and the exact representation and perfect imprint of His Father's essence. In other words, Jesus reflects or glorifies or shows forth God's glory in everything He does. God's radiance, God's Shekinah glory, was manifested on the face of Moses. It came when the tabernacle was dedicated and God came in to their place. And Jesus is the one who manifests that glory. Colossians 1:15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn above all else. Jesus also expresses God's character. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. It says that He, being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. That express image means He is an exact likeness. He is exactly like the Father. And Jesus possesses all power. So He not only shows us the Father, but He gives us the power to know the Father. And Jesus reigns beside the Father today in verse 3. He sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of God. The right hand indicates a place of power and honor, and to sit down implies dignity and dominion. So Jesus sat at the right hand of God, the place of honor, sitting, showing that He has dominion. Jesus is God, and He shows us the Father, and He still communicates with us today. Okay, that's all great to know. What does that do for me today, September 20th, 2019? When I am in His presence, when Jesus is there, the first thing that happens when we come into the presence of God is it brings us to a place of repentance. When we consider the majesty of the Son of God and we are in His presence, it's almost like there's no place for us to turn. Woe is me. It's almost like we are ruined. William Barclay said, Jesus put Himself at our level so He could bring us up to His level. When you're in the presence of God. There is no room for boasting, no room for pride. All we can realize is, Jesus, without you, I'm done for. There's nothing I can offer him, nothing I can give him, nothing that I have that God needs. And when he looks at me, he sees the righteousness of Christ because I've given my life to him. After repentance in his presence, we worship. The Son of God is far greater than any angels. He is the ultimate one. Andrew Murray said, "If I were favored this day with a visit from an angel, what a privilege I would count it. But Christ, the Son of that sits at the right hand of God Almighty, doesn't just visit me, he lives inside of me." Think about that. Wouldn't it be exciting if an angel just showed up, you know, and you had, you know, maybe with a flaming sword or something. I don't know. They're described different ways in the Bible. But wouldn't it be exciting to see an angel, physically see an angel? But think about Jesus, the Messiah, the creator of the universe. God the Son doesn't visit us. He lives inside of us. What an awesome thing to think about. And because of that, I worship him. See, worship is not what we do here on Friday when we sing some songs. That is part of worship, but worship is a lifestyle. Worship is me putting God first, putting Jesus at the center of it all. That's a great song to sing, and I love it. But I wonder sometimes, do we mean it? I told this story before, and I'll finish with this. There was an old retired pastor coming home from church one day, and he saw all of the blue lights and the red lights and police cars and fire engines on his street. And he got up down the street and he found out it was his house that had been on fire while he was at church. And they said he walked into the front yard and he looked at his house, and it was just a concrete slab and some debris. Everything they owned was gone. And the story goes that this old man of God knelt down in his front yard and he put his hands in the air and he says, "God, thank you. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore." That challenges me, because we just finished moving. And when you move, you have to decide, how precious is this thing that I'm holding on to? And I found stuff in my storeroom that I had not used since we moved here 4 years ago. And this is the fourth time I'm going to move this? This is kind of dumb. I've already moved it 3 times and haven't touched it. Let's just get rid of it. Wear stuff loosely to where God is the one. In his presence, we trust him. My wife has a plaque on the wall in our living room, and it's a quote from Corrie ten Boom. It says, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Would you bow your heads with me, please? With your heads bowed, I just want to ask you to contemplate a couple of questions. Who is Jesus to you? How does your life, where you live and where you work, how does it reflect the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Number three, is there anything that you have put ahead of Jesus? And that is the definition of an idol. An idol is anything that takes the place of God in our life. It could be family, could be work, could be money, could be church, could be ministry. Anything that comes in your life before Jesus is an idol. And then lastly, how does God speak to you today? In what various ways does God speak to you today? Because I guarantee you that God is still speaking. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Hebrews. Father, we thank you that all through this book, Jesus is supreme, Jesus is superior, Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. He's a better sacrifice. He's a better high priest. And Father, help us over the next weeks as we study the book of Hebrews to meditate upon the goodness of Jesus, how much better he is. And Father, that we will meditate upon your word and we will get to know him better and better. Father, we thank you that we can also make him known to others around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand for the benediction, please? And now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. And may you go from this place with the peace that passes all understanding, ruling and reigning in your lives. And may you understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is supreme. And Father, we thank you for it and bring us back to you next week in Jesus' name. Amen.